This is Pastor Stoltz, and welcome to our Good Friday worship. I will be using the order of service if you happen to have one. If not, just listen. The first responsive reading is Psalm 55. Listen to my prayer, O God, and do not ignore my plea. Hear and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy, at the stares of the wicked, for they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away from and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter far from the tempest and storm. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my closest friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng at the house of God. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive into the grave, for evil finds lodging among them. But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon do I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Cast all your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half of their days. But as for me, I trust in you. The Passion Reading, Matthew 26, verses 17 to 25. Jesus speaks the truth concerning the one who would betray him. Now the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say to him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto the Lord, Is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me into the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born. And then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. Let us pray. Lord, you were forsaken by one of your own disciples who betrayed you. He betrayed you into the hands of sinful men. Never forsake us, O Lord, and send us your Spirit, that we who have betrayed you by our sins may yet hold fast to you, so that we may not forsake you. Amen.
Thank you.
The Passion Reading from Matthew 26, 31 to 56. Jesus predicts Peter's denial, prays at Gethsemane, and is arrested. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall offend you because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And then Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crows, you shall deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Lord, though I shall die with thee, I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful, very sorrowful and heavy. And then he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. And then he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh to his disciples and found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude of swords and staves, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid their hands on Jesus and took him away. And behold, one of them which was with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew out his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In the same hour Jesus said to the multitudes, Are ye come out against me with swords and staves to take me like a thief? I sat with you daily in the temple teaching, and you laid no hands upon me. But all this was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saying, Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And let us pray. Lord, you were forsaken by your disciples who deserted you and fled. When we are tempted to desert you, send us your Holy Spirit, the gift of faith, that we may hold fast to you and never forsake you. Amen. The responsive psalm reading, Psalm 4. Answer me when I call you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear them when I call. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than there that when there you have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine is abroad. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, will make me dwell in safety. So far. The Passion Reading, Matthew 26, verses 57 to 66. The chief priests bring false accusations against Christ. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off to the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. And yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At last, two false witnesses came and said, this fellow said that I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that you tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man coming, sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? And they answered and said, he is guilty of death. And let us pray. Lord, your own people declare that you were guilty of blasphemy and sought your death. When we are tempted to take your name in vain, send us your Holy Spirit, that we may rest, that we may resist temptation and ever hold fast to you. Amen. Passion Reading, Matthew 26, 69-75. In the face of seemingly relentless interrogation, Peter vehemently denies knowing Christ. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him and said, "Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what you say." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know that man." And after a while there came unto him another one and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And then Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. And let us pray. Lord, you were denied even by your own faithful disciple Peter. When we deny you by our sinful actions, restore us in your forgiving love, and never forsake us who so often forsake you. Amen. Passion Reading, Matthew 27, verses 11-26. Jesus is subjected to the injustice of the governing authorities. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou how many things they are witnessing against you?" And he answered him not a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast of the governor was to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ?" For he knew that they were envy and had delivered him. And when he sat down again on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor asked and said, "Whether the twain will I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." And Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And they all said unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out more, saying, "Let him be crucified." And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was about to be made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See to it yourself. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and upon our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had Jesus scourged, he delivered him to be crucified. Let us pray. Lord, even the secular power of this world recognize your innocence, but forsake you unto death anyway. May we ever hold fast to you, O Lord, even in the face of pressure from within and without, that we may never desert you. Amen. The theme for my sermon this evening is called Giving Up His Life. The wisdom of God never ceases to amaze us, especially when we consider the fact that God is able to use anything or anyone to accomplish his will. But by far the greatest display of his wisdom and love is found in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, who demonstrated his love in giving up his own life on the cross for us. The cross was intended for evil, but God in his manifold wisdom used it for good, for our good. Let us once again on this Good Friday marvel at the love and the wisdom of God by returning to the great mysteries of the cross. A mob of people stood by as Jesus was being nailed to that cross. What a gory sight that must have been. And how appalling it must have been for Christ's disciples who knew he had done nothing wrong, deserving death. For despite the fact that Jesus had gone through four different trials before Annas, before Caiaphas, before Herod, and finally before Pilate, nothing was found of which to accuse or to condemn Jesus. It was out of hatred and jealousy that the Jews had arrested Jesus in the first place. And even as Jesus hung on that cross, his enemies continued to mock him. They ridiculed his claims that he was the Son of God, that he would rebuild the temple in 3 days, and they shouted at Jesus and challenged him to come down from that cross. The fact is, what happened to Jesus on that day was the result of sinful people carrying out their sinful desires. Everyone and everything that Christ's enemies did came from sinful motives. Jesus was put to death unjustly. It was a gross sin. There was not even a hint of fairness. Everything that happened to Jesus that day was the result of gross sin. Every evil thought and motive, every accusation leveled against Jesus on that day, every slanderous remark spoke against him was the result of gross sin. Yes, it was because of sin that Jesus was on that cross. It truly was the hour of darkness, as Jesus had earlier referred to. Satan and sinful men were revealing what they thought was their victory over Jesus, his teachings, and his miracles. They had boldly defiled God. They were acting contrary to his will, for God's will is never in harmony with sin. But we must remember, first and foremost, that Jesus was there on that cross suffering such injustice at the hands of sinful men because we too have defiled God's will. We have sinned. It was never God's will originally for anyone to die, much less his own son. But our sin brought death. Our rebellion against God brought condemnation. Our defiance to God's will brought the sentence of damnation and would have damned all of us. The cross itself is about death, pain, curse, shame, damnation, the consequences of sin. The evil deeds that we have done, the sinful thoughts that we have conceived in our hearts, caused Jesus to be nailed to that cross in defiance of God's will. Yet, here is a great paradox. While God originally never intended for anyone to die, while injustice is something that God never approves of, Holy Scripture teaches that it was God's will for Jesus to suffer and die, to bear our sin, and ultimately to suffer the pains of hell itself. It was not that God looked with favor upon any of these things, but the will of God was finally achieved through them all. It was God's will to deliver sinners from damnation. It was God's will that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It was God's will that forgiveness be secured for everyone. And all this could be accomplished by allowing Jesus to come to become what God despised the most. Because Jesus became sin for us, Jesus became the object of God's wrath and scorn. Everything that was contrary to God's precious will in order to save us. And so Jesus died in accordance to God's will. And what love is this? How great is the wisdom of God, who brings life from death and salvation from damnation. No genius on earth could have devised such a plan for the redemption of the world. But our God in his wisdom not only designed the plan but carried it out on our behalf. He sent his innocent son to die in our place and to bear our sins so that he would be punished in our place. And God credited Christ's death and perfect righteousness to us as if it were our own. And yes, after Jesus had suffered the pains of hell on that cross for us, the Bible tells us Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Jesus had accomplished all that needed to be done, had paid for our death. Although Jesus was put to death by sinful men with sinful intentions, Jesus proved even in his death that he was doing God's will. Jesus died willingly. As a matter of fact, Jesus said earlier, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down to myself." Jesus had come to be the Savior of the world. He loved us and proved it by becoming our substitute in life and in death. That is what Good Friday is all about. It is at the cross that we see the love of God displayed by the injustice Jesus was willing to suffer on our behalf. As Jesus committed his spirit to God on that afternoon, let us be reminded that Jesus was also commending all of us to God. As Christ's spirit left his body in death, we are reminded that we have been released from the bonds of sin that held us. Let us then confess our sins, repent of our sins, rejoice, renounce that our sins have been forgiven, and in faith claim Christ's forgiveness for our sins. Jesus Christ, put to death, accomplished the will of God, and may we forever be eternally thankful. Amen. We continue with the responsive reading, Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. He was cut off from the land of the living. For to the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He was assigned to a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I give him a portion among the great, because he has poured out his life unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The Passion Reading, Matthew 27. 27-44. Soldiers repeatedly shamed and abused Christ. When the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the right, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon him, and they took a reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, and put on his own raiment, and led him away to be crucified. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon, by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments. Among them and upon their vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself, if you are the Son of God. Come down from that cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocked him. And the scribes and the elders said, "He saved others, him himself he cannot save. If he be King of Israel, let him now come down from that cross, and we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And let us pray. Lord Jesus, on that cross, you were taunted by those who crucified you, by those who stood by watch, by those who crucified you. The world still taunts you and forsakes you. By your Spirit, let us look upon your cross and find strength to witness boldly in your name. Thank you. The Passion Reading, Matthew 27, 45 to 54. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let him be. Let us see whether Elias will come and save him. Jesus, when he cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his ghost. And behold, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks did rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And they came out of their graves after the resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared to many. Now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Through Christ's death, the Father now calls us sons and daughters, co-heirs with Christ. This gives us the privilege to refer to God now as our Father. Let us pray to our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask you to look with mercy upon your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and to be given over to have the hands of sinner to suffer death on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you, Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.